Welcome to the podcast of Mike Frazier, Senior Pastor of Canton Baptist Temple. Here you can learn and understand the truths of God's Word so that you may live out those truths. To get a glimpse of what is taking place at our church and to hear more of Mike Frazier, visit our website, cantonbaptist.org. If you have any questions or comments, we would like to hear from you. Please email us at radio@cantonbaptist.org. Now let's join Mike Frazier.
I started this series of messages on Mother's Day, and I'm preaching the last message here today on Father's Day. And so the need for family values. Today, we're going to look at the value of prayer. The value of prayer. Now, I realize that it is Father's Day, and I'm going to specifically preach to the fathers today, but I believe that the mothers and even all the rest of the audience here today will be able to get something out of this message as we focus and as we wrap our minds around this topic of prayer, the value of prayer. I have been blessed to be the father to three children, Lauren, Justin, and Connor. I've got some pictures here. Here's Lauren. I don't know quite how old she was, but this was way back. She is today 23 years old. There she is with my mother down in Tennessee. And anytime we go down south, we go to Krispy Kreme. Amen. Krispy Kreme donuts. They give you those little hats to wear, and you can eat all the donuts you want there. And here she is with me not too terribly long ago when she was able to come in town for a visit. So she's my oldest, and she's 23. Now, here is Justin. This was actually down at Merle Pearson's years ago down there in Waynesburg where the men's fishing trip was recently. I don't know how many of you went on that, but there he is catching a bluegill down there. And then later he went on a trip up to Alaska a little bit older, caught some bigger fish than a bluegill. Amen. That was a big salmon that he caught up there. And now he serves in the United States Navy, and he's stationed down in South Carolina. Appreciate your prayers for him. And then there's Connor. Connor has always loved hot dogs. The boy can eat more hot dogs than anybody I have ever seen, and especially when it's dollar dog night up at the game, and that's where that was. He was disappointed when we went up there as a men's group recently. It was dollar dog night, and they ran out of hot dogs. Can you believe that? He had just polished off his eighth hot dog, and he was wanting to eat one for each inning, you know, all the way. And so I think he ended up getting ice cream in the ninth inning. I don't know what he did, but he's always loved hot dogs and donuts. And donuts. He loves donuts as well. And this is, again, down in South Carolina. And then he loves baseball. And that's him pitching here a couple of weeks ago down in Cartersville, Georgia. But I have truly been blessed with three wonderful children. My children have brought a lot of joy to my life. To be honest with you, I cannot imagine life without my children. For those of you who are fathers and mothers here today, think about that. What would life be like without your children? My guess is it would be very quiet and it would be very boring, right? It's an incredible privilege to be a father. And from time to time, I'm reminded that it is an awesome responsibility that we have. The story is told of the first grade teacher who asked her class to draw a picture of what they thought God looked like. Many of them got pretty creative with their drawings. One drew a picture of Superman. I guess that's the way a lot of kids view their father, as being able to do anything, you know, Superman. But one girl drew a picture, and her teacher found that picture to be very fascinating, very unique. When the teacher asked that little girl about the picture, she said, "I don't know what God looks like, so I just drew a picture of my daddy." Now, that's interesting because I want to make an observation or an analogy here today. A child is not likely to grow up and see God as his heavenly father unless he first sees God in his father. Now, you think about that for a moment. But really, that girl had it right. She drew a picture of her dad. She saw a little of something of God in her father. And so I believe this statement is true. A child is not likely to grow up and see God as his heavenly father unless he first sees God in his father. Children that grow up in abusive homes really struggle with their relationship with their heavenly father because they have a hard time understanding how their heavenly father can truly love them and care about them and does not want to hurt them. And so it's very important, that relationship that we have with our children. As I mentioned in my last message, being a father means much more than just putting food on the table and paying the bills. Now, sometimes it feels like that, doesn't it, guys? It just seems like a rat race, you know, week in, week out, and you're just trying to provide for your family, for the physical needs, putting the food on the table and making sure all the bills are paid. But being a father means that you have been given the responsibility of representing your family before God. Now think about that statement just for a minute. In biblical terminology, we would call this person a priest. If you are a father here today, I want you to think of yourself as being the priest of your home. Now, the priests in the Old Testament had various duties that they performed. One of the primary responsibilities that they had was to teach the law of God to the people. They also officiated the worship in the temple, and they encouraged the people to confess their sins before God. But the most important role that they played was that of being a representative of the people of Israel before the Lord. Literally, they stood between God and the people and prayed for them to be acceptable in the eyes of God. It's what we would call the ministry of what? Intercession. And so one of the responsibilities that the priests had was to intercede on behalf of the people. The Bible tells us that Jesus is our high priest. Having paid for our sins, he is now seated at the right hand of God the Father, and he is actively involved in interceding for you and me. May we not forget the words of Hebrews 7, verse 25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Jesus is interceding for us right now, and that is a blessing. Amen. To know that Jesus is interceding for me and for you. And now we as fathers, please understand, you're not a high priest, but you do act as the priest of your home. Now, in our day and time, most people think of a priest as someone who sits in a booth and listens to people confess their sins. By the way, one human cannot eradicate the sin in another human's heart and life. We don't have to go through a man to get forgiveness of sin. We go through Jesus. It's in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that our sins are completely washed away. And so really that whole concept of a priest, a human priest in a booth and confessing your sins to a human priest, that is totally unbiblical. We are to confess our sins to God through being washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The concept, though, of being the priest of your home is that you as the father, you are the representative of your home, and you are supposed to be constantly interceding in prayer on behalf of your family. Now think about it, because if Jesus is continually interceding for us, his children, how much more important is it for us to intercede for our children, right? If Jesus is interceding for you, should you not intercede for your children? If you want to see your family blessed by God, and if you want to see the lives of your children transformed by God's power, then you as the father, you have got to assume the role as the priest in your home. There are so many things working against our children today. Think about the world and the culture in which they live. Drugs, alcohol, sex. They're all destroying families all across America. And by the way, my guess would be that those things have even touched the lives of many children right here, even in our own church. Trying to raise a godly family in an ungodly culture is a challenge, right? Parenting is a challenge. And every last one of us needs to understand that without prayer, it will not be accomplished. You and I don't have what it takes to be the parent that we ought to be. We need God. Fathers, today, listen to me. You need God to help you be the father that He wants you to be. When we pray, we are admitting to God that in and of ourselves, we don't have what it takes to get the job done. When you don't pray, in essence, you are saying, God, I don't need you. I've got all this taken care of. If I get into a mess, I'll send a prayer up. But you and I need to understand that we need God every day to help us with this incredible responsibility of parenting. Being a parent to our children and being a godly parent to our children. That's an awesome task that has been given to us. I want you, if you have a Bible today, to look at Job. Job chapter 1. Now you might say, Job, what in the world does Job have to do with Father's Day? Well, Job chapter 1 and verse 5, I think you'll find a very interesting verse. By the way, Job is considered to be the oldest book in the Bible. He would have been a man who would have lived during the days of the patriarchs, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. So he goes way, way back. And look, if you will, at Job 1 and verse 5. And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them. That is, he's referring to his children there. He sanctified them. He set them apart, and he rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job what? Continually. Job was obviously a family man. He had seven sons and he had three daughters. According to verse 4, they were a very close-knit family. They would have times of what we would call get-togethers, where they would come together and they would enjoy the company of one another, and they would eat, and they would just have a great time as a family. Job loved his family, and it shows because why? He assumed his role as the priest of his family in verse 5. He took this responsibility seriously. Now, without a doubt, Job was a busy man. In his day and time, you would call him a business tycoon. I mean, he was a very successful businessman. He owned sheep and camels and donkeys and servants and all kinds of demands on his time and his energy. But even with all of his business responsibilities, he never missed praying for his children. And that's what is implied when you see that last statement. You find a period after the word hearts, and then it says, thus did Job continually. Job was continually interceding on behalf of his children. He was constantly praying for his sons and for his daughters. Now, most fathers feel very strongly about providing for the needs of their children. A good father will provide for the needs of his children. They will work long hours and they'll make sacrifices so that their children can enjoy the nicer things of life. But may we never forget that the spiritual needs of our children always outweigh the physical needs of our children. Sometimes we as fathers, we're busy thinking about the physical needs, putting food on the table, putting the latest fashions on their backs, and paying the bills and making sure all the physical needs are provided for. But let's not forget about the spiritual needs of our children. Jesus also emphasized this in Mark chapter 8 and verse 36. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Now think about that. Let me paraphrase this verse for the fathers here today. Fathers, what good is it if we give our children everything they want in this world and yet they lose their souls? Right? That would be a catastrophe. You say, well, I've given them everything they ever wanted. I provided this for them and that for them. You may have put emphasis on all their physical needs, and you have forgotten to take care of their spiritual needs. As the priest of your home, you should be more concerned about the spiritual welfare of your children than you are in getting them the latest gadget or the latest fashion that the world has to offer. You say, what should I pray about when it comes to my children? There are many, many things that you ought to be in prayer about when it comes to your children. But I want to give you three. Three things that you ought to pray for when it comes to your children. Number one, you ought to pray for their salvation. That's got to be number one on the list. Top priority. Amen. We want to make sure that they know Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. Do you want your children to be saved? Of course you do, right? Then why don't you pray about it? Does that make sense? Before our kids were even born, we began to pray for their salvation. Praying that at a very early age, when they came to the age of accountability, when they would understand clearly the gospel, the message of the gospel, understand that they are sinners in need of the Savior, we prayed that they would open their heart and receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That was our very first prayer for our children. If you think about it, the salvation of our children is priceless. We can send them to Sunday school. We can send them to camp. We can enroll them in Awana. And we can get them plugged into our youth ministry. And all of that is good. But we must not forget to saturate all of that with prayer. Praying that the message of the gospel will get through and penetrate their hearts, whether it's in Sunday school or out at the camp or in Awana or up in our student ministries. I want you to think for a minute about the many famous Christians that came to know Christ at a very young age. I want to name just four. Polycarp. If you know, we have his portrait in our Christian Hall of Fame. You say, well, I don't know if I've ever seen that portrait. He is the one that has the flames going up all around him. I bet you've seen it now, right? That's Polycarp. Polycarp was one of the apostolic fathers, and he was one of the early Christian martyrs. He became a believer at the age of 9. Sir Isaac Watts, the noted hymn writer, professed his faith in Christ at the age of 9. Matthew Henry, known as the Prince of Commentators, received Christ when he was 11 years old. Jonathan Edwards, the famous preacher and theologian, was saved at age 7. I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior when I was 7 years old. My point is this: I cannot think of anything more important for you as a father to pray about than the salvation of your children. That is first and foremost. Intercede and pray for the salvation of your sons and your daughters. Number two, you ought to pray for their spiritual growth. Once they're saved, then you ought to pray that they spiritually develop and they grow in their walk with the Lord. That's exactly what Job is doing here in Job chapter 1 and verse 5. He thought that his kids were right with God, but he just wanted to make sure. How many of us as parents at times, we think our kids are right with God, but sometimes we wonder, are they truly growing in their walk with the Lord? Notice that statement there in verse 5. It may be that my sons have sinned. I don't think they have sinned. I don't believe they're living in sin, but they might. They might be. And so Job didn't know everything about the lives of his sons and his daughters, and so he interceded and he prayed for them. Job wanted to make sure that his children were in a proper relationship with God and that they were growing in that relationship with God. My mind goes back to the story about the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. We aren't told what the father did while his son went and squandered his entire inheritance, but my guess is that that father was praying. Right? Praying. I believe there wasn't an hour that went by that he didn't say a prayer for that wayward son. Listen to me carefully if you're a dad or a mom here today, but if you have a child away from the Lord, then you even have more reason to pray for that child maybe than anybody else. You ought to pray. My brother passed away a few years ago after a battle with cancer. He was in his 50s. He was always a wayward child. There were three in our family. He was the oldest. I was the middle child. And then my sister was the youngest. But my brother was always wayward. And he really gave my mom and dad a lot of grief, especially during his teenage years and in the 20s, I guess, when he was sowing his wild oats. And I remember my mother spending a lot of time in prayer for my brother. There were times whenever she would wake up in the middle of the night praying. I'd get up in the morning and come down, and I would see my mother with open Bible doing her devotions and praying for each of us children by name. I really believe that my mother ended up having high blood pressure issues because she was always worried about my brother and the spiritual condition of my brother. My mother and my father never stopped praying for my brother. And because of that, I believe that God put a pastor up there in Minnesota in his life that was able to help him in that last year when he was battling cancer to truly get right with God, to give us the assurance that he does know the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. No, he had not lived a life that was honoring and glorifying to God, but in that last year, he made sure that he got right with God, and it gave great amount of comfort to us. We truly believe that was an answer to prayer. And specifically, the prayers of my father and my mother. There shouldn't be a day that goes by that we don't pray for our children and for the spiritual growth of our children. You realize as you get older and your children move out of the house and they move on, as I've mentioned, I've got two in South Carolina now. Now you pray that somebody else, God would place somebody in their path that would point them to God. Do you remember when they were young, you had all kinds of time with them, right? You spent from morning to evening, and the next day it started all over again, and you thought, man, when am I ever going to get any rest? And then they grow up, and they move out, and then you pray a little differently. You say, Lord, I don't have as much influence on their life. I talk to them on the phone every now and then, or they send text, or they FaceTime me, or I'm even on Snapchat now. I'm really getting with it. But I do all that with my teenagers and try to communicate and all that. But you suddenly realize, I pray, God, please put somebody in their path that will help them to spiritually grow, help them to understand the importance of you and your word. That's something that we ought to pray for. And when you pray, you ought to pray with faith. You ought to pray with hope because we have a God that can do the impossible. Number three. Not only should you pray for their salvation and pray for their spiritual growth, but number three, you ought to pray for their service. God has a plan for each of our lives, and that means that he has a plan for our child's life. God has a plan for Justin's life. God has a plan for Lauren's life. God has a plan for Connor's life. I believe that with all of my heart. The same is true for your children as well. God saves us so that he can then use us. As fathers, we ought to pray for God to reveal to our children his perfect will for their lives. And then we need to pray that our children will be open and sensitive and obedient to do God's will for their lives. I've said it before, but let me say it again. Ultimately, what we want most for our children is to know God, to love God, to worship God, and to live for God. Now you stop and think about it. You say, well, I want my kid to go to this college, and I hope they become real successful in this particular occupation. And Stop just for a moment. When you reduce it down to really what it's all about, what you want your kid to grow up to do is to know God, to love God, to worship God, and to live for God. If they would do that four, I'd be happy. Make a happy daddy, right? If they would know God in a personal way, they love God with all their heart and soul and mind, and then if they would worship God, and then if they would live for God, commit themselves to live for God. Isn't that, parents, isn't that what it's all about? That's what it's all about. Because I know some of you might be here today saying, preacher, my children are grown and they're on their own and I've got grandchildren now and this message doesn't really apply to me. Yes, it does. You ought to still be praying for them. My dad is 83 years old. I try to talk to him at least every couple of days. And I called him this morning, wished him a happy Father's Day. And I don't believe I've ever hung up the phone with him yet where he didn't say, now, Mike, I want you to know I'm praying for you. And he told me today, he said, I pray that the Lord will fill you with His Spirit and you'll have unction from on high. He uses big words. Unction from on high, that God will use you as you preach His Word today. And I really, truly, I believe my dad, that's not just words that he said. I guarantee you when we hung up the phone, he bowed his head and he prayed for me this morning. I've got a father that still prays. I'm going to be 51 here very soon. And my dad is still praying for me. He hasn't stopped praying for me. So you say today, well, my kids are out of the house. I don't have any little kids anymore. Don't stop praying for your kids.
You have been listening to Mike Frazier, Senior Pastor of Canton Baptist Temple. Like Canton Baptist Temple on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Canton Baptist. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday to get a personal glimpse of what God is doing at our church. We'll meet you here again next week.